Hey, welcome to Breaking It Down with
Brandy,
Camille,
and Katie.
Our guest today is no stranger to hard work and having fun. She has produced, directed, and has cast film, TV, and video games that we all know and love. She's been nominated for 2 Audio Awards for Outstanding Achievement in Casting, Television Animation. We can't wait to hear her journey. Ladies and gents, we introduce to you Ivy Eisenberg.
Yeah! Yeah.
Thanks, ladies. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, our pleasure. Ivy, can we ask you what your journey was to becoming a casting director? How did it all begin for you?
I don't know.
Excellent.
Good start.
So before, jokingly, before kind of, you know, and I think obviously we're now in an area of respectful sensitivity, but I used to say I slept my way to the middle. That's awesome. Which is not true at all.
Right.
I never mix business and pleasure. So casting was just part of, it was just part of the taste tests of working in entertainment, because when I was little, I was a child actor and my dad was an agent at William Morris.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
And originally, I feel like, you know, when you're born into a showbiz family, it's sort of like the family business.
Yeah.
So I won't say forced into, you know, child labor, but, you know, I think there's a certain sense of you want your parents to be proud of you, and there's a validation system,
sure.
And, you know, it's something that they're so passionate about, and so you sort of follow in those footsteps to make your parents proud. So I think as a kid, I always, like, did commercials and print and went to drama camp and acting camp and did plays, and then high school was musical theater at a performing arts high school, and then college was USC, the BFA acting program, which I had to audition for, and they only let 30 people in per year.
Wow.
And it was, you know, you're in this maze and you're in this, I guess I won't call it a rat race, but like a puzzle or a maze, and you're just like, gotta get the cheese. And sometimes you're like, wait, why? I don't even like cheese. I'm lactose intolerant. Yeah. You know, like, what the? So it was my freshman year of USC in the acting conservatory, like Stanislavski, Uta Hagen, all of this stuff. And I just remember, having to do this scene for scene class, and I don't know. I guess back in the day, it was just like always a kissing scene, you know? And so I had to kiss this guy or fake kiss him or whatever in this scene. I remember his breath was so disgusting. Like, just like rotted, like asparagus. Or, I don't know what he ate for lunch or ever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, starving student. So maybe, I don't know.
Right.
So I remember having to do this scene with him in class and thinking, oh God, I really just never want to do this again.
Mm.
And I just realized I wasn't on the performing side for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm an extrovert, but I think at, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, for me, it was very interesting because I see the impetus for going into performing. But I had the opposite mindset. I thought, you know what? I'm having trouble just being me. The more that I escape into other characters and other people's lives, the more avoidant I end up being in terms of who I am.
Wow.
And I needed to sort of hunker down and figure out who Ivy was. And I felt like acting for me was a distraction, and it took too much of a toll, I think.
Right.
And also, it demands so much availability and presence that I didn't have it. I mean, I'm this is like 20 years later. I don't even know if I still have it. Right? Because, and that's the thing. So it's almost, in terms of casting, so I knew I didn't want to be an actor. I'm an extrovert. I love being around actors. at the time, when I was at USC, I worked at a literary agency. And I read scripts, and I did coverage, and I gave notes, and I really didn't like that process either, because that's a different personality type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, this is really, I don't know what the hell to do with my life. And so I taste tested a bunch of things. I worked at a bunch of talent agencies as assistants, and then I was like a junior manager, and then a manager at this company. You know, working in lit, I soon realized I didn't want to do that. And so ultimately I realized I have an extroverted personality. And I'm really interested in like watching performances and being moved. And so, cause I need that release as an audience member, you know, on the other side of it. And so, you know, I was working in representation. And a friend of mine worked at MGM with Paul Weber and said, hey, I just gave notice and Paul's looking to replace me. I think you'd be awesome. You guys would get along. So I met with him and started at MGM and was an assistant and an associate. And then, you know, worked my way up the ladder on a lot of different things like Stargate and Stargate Atlantis and like discovering Jason Momoa. I mean, I don't know
that's
what I would
cool.
say.
I saw thank you very much. We all appreciate that.
And
thank
they
you.
All love that. And thank gorgeous you. Momoa. I mean, fuck Momoa. I mean, it's too late now anyway. But yeah, but like, you know, just, I loved just interacting with people. And I think it's selfish, honestly. I think it's selfish because I really love laughing and I really love crying. It's so good for you. It absolutely keeps you from getting cancer. Do you know what I mean? Like you release everything, and in your sadness when you cry, like you release all the toxins, the emotional toxins that bottle up. And so I love being moved. So for me, I didn't want to sit there and in a room by myself, you know, reading scripts one after the other. It didn't work well with, you know, my ADHD and my, you know, my just diversified attention.
Right. Yeah.
So I realized, okay, yeah, I'll do this MGM thing and see what happened. And I loved reading with the actors. And I would, like, get into it and, like, act to see. Like, I hate getting self-tapes where the casting directors or the readers are, like, or the readers are, like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah, it's so distracting. And I know that there's a mindset behind it. I know it's like, well, I'm going to give them nothing and see what they do. Well, that's my assumption anyway.
Yeah.
But I say the opposite because I'm like, I'm going to give you everything you need. And if you still can't fucking do it, then just go back to the, you know, basics and start over.
Well, coming from an actor's point of view, thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, but I read with someone the other day and he said, you know, I can't look at you because you do all these faces. And like, sometimes I'm the other character and sometimes I'm like, you know, acting it out with them and like, yes, like, you know, and they're like, it's just too distracting. I'm like, I get it. Sorry. Yeah, I totally get it.
That's
so
awesome.
Sometimes now, if I remember to, I'll say like, do you want to use me or do you want me to just be still? Like, how do you, how does it work best?
That's awesome. You give them the option.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah.
You like ask them what they prefer.
Well, when I remember, you know, but sometimes I'm just like, okay, here's how we're doing it.
Right.
But yeah, casting for me, it's been fun. I just did this movie for Shark Week.
I love Shark Week.
And yeah, a lot of people are so
bad. It's huge.
It was great.
It is huge.
I got to work with two other casting directors because I think at this point I'm trying to bring in other perspectives. I'm trying to bring in, like, my brain only knows so many people. And I want to maximize the benefit for my clients. So if there are people that I don't know or shows where they've added people that I haven't, you know, gotten up to speed with, it's nice to have these two other brains. So I brought in Jennifer Treadwell and Monica Kelly, and we did this shark movie together. And they're filming it now, and everyone's saying the performances are really great.
Good.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. But for the most part, I call my career Comic-Con cool because, like, everything that I work on from the beginning of my casting career on has always been, like, that demographic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just don't think I'm ever going to cast, like, CSI, you know, Nashville or whatever the next one's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I do love the procedurals, and I'm the biggest fan of Law & Order SVU.
Oh, me too.
And it's kind of how I, like, know New York talent, too. I'm like, I mean, even
you're like, were you on that one episode?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched the marathons, and then you get stuck, and you're like 6 hours later, I'm still on the couch. How is this happening?
And like people like Mahershala Ali, and you know, all these people, you know, who did episodes, and you know,
It's like Grey's Anatomy. I started watching that, and everybody is in that show.
Yeah,
I'm like, I know that person from like six other things that I've seen them in. Yeah. It's wild. 100%.
And so, like, I'm always like, there's one actor that I love, and I'm always trying to bring him into video games and get him to come in. And he's got a very busy schedule. And I'm always like, you're my favorite rapist. It's like, God, when are you gonna stop saying that? I did 2 episodes of Law & Order, and I have this huge body of work. Yeah. Yes, but. And I'm like,
are him.
It's so funny because having worked on Stargate and Stargate Atlantis and going to some of those conventions, people would always come up to me and say like, oh, I remember the episode where blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And you know, I liked the show and I was proud of it. You're on the work side. So it's sort of like, you know, got to get to the cheese.
Yeah.
You know,
And
so you're like, oh. New cheese. So I didn't have the same luxury of going back and like being a fan of them after the fact.
Sure.
Because it ran like clockwork, and I was there for about 5-6 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, next episode, next episode, next episode. And it was like a finely tuned machine. But so I am that fangirl with like Law & Order SVU. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it just helps, you know, to familiarize myself with maybe who's local, and then obviously I know who isn't, who they flew in to do whatever. But now my career is primarily focused, although I still do film and I produce and I'm packaging some animated series and stuff like that, but it's mostly video games and animation.
It's awesome.
And so that again sort of lends itself to the whole Comic-Con cool thing, because you know, we used to have booths and all these perks and stuff for Stargate. And then when I left MGM and started casting Robot Chicken, that was the Comic-Con thing, like Robot Chicken at
huge,
Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, you know, now it's like Call of Duty Black Ops and properties for Ubisoft.
I think every man I know has played that game.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about that game for forever.
100%.
It was 100%. Wild.
But it's neat because, you know, starting off, I mean, it was so interesting because I was doing these animated comedies voiceover and then doing full performance capture for the video games that weren't comedy.
Right.
And so interesting to note the sort of diverse nature of the VO. Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking about doing voiceover casting, it's interesting because I had all this comedy voiceover. So working with all the funny people, you know, I don't know, Carlos Alzaraki and I'm just trying to think of like Chris Cox and Misty Lee and all of these, you know, just like really funny voiceover performers.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to see if they fit anywhere in my video games that, you know, they might be snarky, but it's not like ha-ha funny.
Right.
And then trying to figure out the voiceover process for that, like the battle chatter and the, you know, and the sustained volume for 2 to 4 hours. And, you know, now we do it primarily for 2 hours, but you still have to have the technique, the breathing technique, the diaphragmal strength. And really, it's a skill set. It's not just, I have a good voice. Like, that to me is so fucking annoying. Like, people tell me I have a good voice.
Right.
that's nice. Here's my phone number. Call me for phone sex later.
Yeah.
That's true. What has that got to do with acting? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, there's tonal issues and there's resonance and all that. And it's nice to have knowledge of, like, who has masculine voices, who has husky voices, mm-hmm. who has, you know, these commanding voices, whether male or female. And also then who's funny.
Right.
And, you know, right. So it's kind of a little bit of a diverse career path, mm-hmm. but yet kind of.
Were you doing them at the same time? Both yeah. back to back.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's
and so
awesome.
When you're calling in these actors or these performers or wherever they like to identify mm-hmm. themselves as,
yeah.
When you're looking at the resumes, when you're saying, oh, I know you've got an interesting voice, but mm-hmm. specifically for these voiceover projects, what's the first thing that you're looking at?
Well, if it's
or is it more
animated
real?
Comedy, then UCB and voiceover classes and Groundlings and, you know, Improv Olympic and stuff like that. And then for the, you know, for the first person shooters, mm-hmm. you know, something a little Shakespearean, like, you know, people gravitate towards one thing or another, right. I think. And I think you don't necessarily always find everything in one person. Which I'm learning in my love life, but,
girl, me too.
right? So, you know, when you look at their resume and then you see like Othello and Chekhov and, yeah. you know, or Shakespeare and Chekhov mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, all that, that's their jam, you know, mm-hmm. and they want to be like regal and have a presence and,
yeah.
you know, and do the dramaturgy,
mm-hmm.
And they're heady and, you yeah. know, they're that person.
Yeah.
And right? they get breath support for sure.
Yeah, like, 100%.
Like saying a certain way.
And, you know, comedy people, I think, learn early on whether they're funny or not. You know? That's mm-hmm. not yeah. my dog, by the way. So then you look for groundlings and you look for and how long they were there. You know, one class does not a talent make, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, right.
You know, were they there 5 years? And we're like, okay, so they're really, you know, quote, serious about comedy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just depends. I think people, you know, my mom always said, interestingly enough, speaking of dating, but my mom always said, people tell you who they are right away. You just need to learn to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to do that in casting. I try mm-hmm. to, you know, figure out who people are and what their strengths are and utilize those strengths.
Right.
And sometimes you say, oh, okay, well, you know, I've never seen them do this, but let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they can and sometimes they can't. I feel like it's very rare that someone can change their aura,
right.
or their essence, mm-hmm. right? So, mm-hmm. you know, you have a lemon water and it's not going to be a blueberry water. It's going to pretty much be a lemon water. And whether or not that essence works for a variety of things, mm-hmm. that's for sort of me and my producers to decide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So it's nice when people are malleable. I mean, I think people like Dustin Hoffman are malleable. I think, you know, certain... I always call it like Dustin Hoffman versus Al Pacino.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say Al Pacino is not talented, but you can say that he has a specific window of
yes.
skill set
sure.
that really captures you.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he knows who he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's not going to be Rain Man, is he?
Right. No.
That would be such a different performance.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So some people are so good at their essence
mm-hmm.
and it really brings something interesting to the table when appropriate. And some people are malleable and it's okay to be either. I don't, you know, I don't think there's any shame going, well, they're really not going to play this or I don't mm-hmm. perceive them this way.
Right. So what would you say in that aspect? Like what would you, when you and your producers are watching it, what would you say makes a really good audition? Like, for certain things that you're casting, where you're like, that's a good audition. I might not cast them in this, but, like, that was a good one.
I do this thing where I put everybody on the tape, mm-hmm. and I give them my thoughts. So,
okay.
Everyone, producers get to see everyone. And I learned early on, it's because somebody knows somebody. mm-hmm. right? And I don't want to delete somebody off the tape and they're like, that's my sister-in-law.
Yeah. Right.
Or my best friend from college said they went in for you and I don't see them on the tape.
Yeah.
You know. So I put, you know, my perception of their strengths and weaknesses as they pertain to their skill set or as they pertain to the role.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just submitted something for a project. And I don't know how vulnerable they want the lead to be. I don't know if they want them more, you know, because they said they wanted XYZ. But then I won't really know whether they mean what they say until I send them the first batch and see who they gravitate towards.
Okay.
So the only times I go, I say, no way, Jose, is if they just don't have the presence and the skill set to carry off a full project. Mm. And so sometimes it's like, oh, great, I could pull it out of you in the audition, but you're not ready to swim on your own.
Right.
And I'm not going to throw you in the pool because I don't want you to drown.
Right.
You know, and it's not fair to anybody to have someone drowning in words or in responsibilities that they can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's not fair to them.
Right.
It's not fair to anyone.
Especially if you're working that on set and trying to just pull them up the whole time. It's like, come on, we have a project to get done.
No one wants to work that hard. Yeah. Right. So there are people I can get their auditions to where they need to be, but what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to be there holding their hand.
Right.
So I always put all the people that I find compelling as my, like, explore, and if that's the way you want to go, great. And if you want them to be less vulnerable or stronger or more stoic, that's fine too. Here are those choices.
Right.
You know, like, here are the strawberries and here are the cherries. Yeah. I don't know what red flavor you were looking for. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you open up that Starburst and you're just like, watermelon. No, that's not what I was thinking, you know.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
And frankly, I find most of the time neither do they until they see something and they connect with the essence.
Mm-hmm.
So my casting process is just find people that are comfortable in their skin, that their faces don't twitch from nervousness. I try to set up an environment that is welcoming and friendly. And I'm extremely quirky to the point where maybe that makes some people uncomfortable, but, you know, I'm an oversharer. And I want people to know I'm trying to set up a safe space. So, and I give you as much information as I'm allowed to tell you. And if you still can't do it, that's on you. But it's not because I made you nervous or uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's not because I was mean or rushed you.
Right.
I created an environment for you to succeed, and now it's on you.
Yeah.
I just prefer doing business that way. So I'm super quirky and, yeah, sometimes a little inappropriate. You know, like, people will come in, and I remember auditioning this one woman who's in one of my projects now, and she's just really just fucking lovely. Like, she's so available and so interesting, and there to play, not there for validation.
Mm, right.
Mm-hmm.
So she came in, and I was like, hi, I'm Ivy, and she's like, hi, I'm blah. Her name's not blah, 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 but I don't
know. Sure, yeah.
So I said, she's like, oh, I see your food is there. And I was like, yeah, I just picked this up from downstairs. I'm like, I'm so fucking pissed. She's like, what? I'm like, do you know how much I paid for this sushi? And I was like, just guess. I mean, this is our first interaction. Yeah. Let's just guess. And she's like, oh, I don't know. What do you got? And I was like, I have a tuna, a salmon, and an albacore. Guess how much? And she's like, I don't know, like $15, $16. I go, no, $30.
What?
And she was, yeah. So we had this 10-minute conversation about how much this effing sushi cost me.
Right, right.
Because this one hole in the wall that no one ever goes to happens to be right next to this space I was holding sessions. And they charged like $8.50 per two pizza. And I was like, this better be golden lace.
Right.
Like,
better be the best damn sushi I ever ate.
Right? Yeah. And so we got this huge, and I was like, listen, I am not cheap, but this is like a basic fucking supermarket sushi.
Right. Yeah.
It needs to be $5 an order or $6 an order, not $8.50 an order.
Yeah.
Like, I was so mad. Right. And she was like, I agree. Yeah. Like, you know, we just got into this discussion. And so then I was like, okay, my my fish trauma aside, like, okay, what do you need to know about this character or the context or whatever? And let's go into it, and we'll just see what happens. Let's just play with it. And if it needs some other spices, we'll just deal with it then. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
So just kind of people come in and I just mouth off about stupid stuff and
just be yourself.
Yeah. Was this sushi any good?
Yeah. It's fine.
Like, that's what we wanted.
I was so pissed.
Yeah,
that's insane. It was a lot.
Yeah, that's way overpriced.
Who the do you think you are? This is Valley sushi. Yeah. It should not be this much money. The ocean is so far that way.
That's so funny.
Ridiculous. Do you know what I mean?
I totally do.
Crazy.
Ivy, you mentioned before about self-tapes. What are some of the mistakes that you see on people that send you self-tape auditions? Is there anything that stands out?
Yes, of course. Like, how are you going to send me a crappy tape, you know, or take? Why are you not prepared? Why are the sides not memorized? Like, aesthetic, fine, okay. You did it on your iPhone. The sound quality is whatever. It is what it is. I don't expect you to have a full setup. Right. That's ridiculous. It would be nice if there was, you know, vocal clarity and it was audible and you did it at a volume that I could, you know, send to producer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Be great if I could see.
No subtitles underneath.
Totally. Like a 3/4 body shot. So I know, because I work in full performance capture. So if you're self-taping as a video file, then I need to see what your body is doing. Mm. Not so much what it looks like, but what you're doing. Everybody has, like, look how I'm sitting now, right? Mm-hmm. So, but sometimes people twitch.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have like these kind of things.
Like eye jacks.
Whatever. Muscle spasms, eye twitches, idiosyncrasies. I need to see what the character's body looks like. Mm-hmm. Not your body, but like, what is it going to look like when we're capturing it broken down into joints, right? Mm-hmm. And strategic points.
Right.
So it isn't so much, like, television is very interesting, and it's definitely its own medium. So sometimes I say, like, great, I know you're an awesome painter, but can you sculpt?
Right.
And so you can tell me you're an artist, that's fine, but this is a different medium. And so I jokingly say sometimes that in television, because everything is so much about the close-up and they do neck up, I don't even know if you have feet.
Right.
Maybe you don't have them.
Right.
How would I know?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't do any of your own stunts for safety reasons, legal reasons, you know, insurance reasons. And maybe that's not you running. Maybe that's, you know, your body double because there was a car chasing after you and they didn't want to take it. I don't know what you look like when you run. I don't know how long your legs are. I don't know where your joints are in relation. Like, maybe you have a jumbo torso and little bitty legs.
Right.
That's not going to work out so well because we're capturing your exact physicality, how you move, where your joints are connected. It isn't about, they need to tape. They need to tape because I don't know if they can act. No, I know you can act. I just need to see how.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's so much pushback. I couldn't think of the word. There's so much pushback on, just give them the role. Just give them the role. Why? They don't have to audition. Do you know who they are? All this stuff. And I was like, I watched you on TV. I watched your eyeballs.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. I got a close up. I got looks. I got eye acting.
Right.
And TV acting is so subtle. And I'm not saying that performance capture is not subtle, but it is. It is black box theater in the round. It is transforming your physicality to the essence of the character in full, down to your little tippy toes.
Right.
So if your character has a limp, you better remember that limp. And we can't cut away. We can't cut to another scene. We can't chop up your performance because the technology does not work that way.
Right.
Oh.
So
didn't know that.
You're capturing everyone's gonna give me shit, especially because I just called myself Comic-Con cool. Jack in Nightmare Before Jack what's
Skellington.
Skellington. Thank you. I kept thinking scallions
or onions.
Jack Skellington, right? Mm-hmm. And his like movement right. and his mm-hmm. bones right. and that's ultimately what we are capturing. And then I like to say, but all the tech people kill me for this, then we glue on the face later.
Right, oh, right, okay. right.
Yeah. It's not really how it works, but yes, kind of. And mm-hmm. so when you are working in black box theater and you're by the ocean and you dip your feet in the water and you feel a chill and it comes over your body, you're creating the senses, not the sensuality as in sexuality, but your sensory... The sensations, yeah. You're creating the sensations with your reactions as an orchestrated performance. Mm-hmm. But it's stuff you needed to have thought of. Okay? So, you know, when you're shooting in the desert and it's cold and the sand is hitting your face and it's 4 a.m. and you're shooting this indie movie for Bupkas... Mm-hmm. The sand's hitting you in the face, or there's like a giant fan blowing sand at you, right?
Right.
And so we don't have that. So we need you to just picture the sand blowing in your face and change your body position. It's funny because I'm acting it out in front of you as an audio podcast. Like, yes.
Brilliant. She's acting it out brilliantly.
Picture this. the wind is in my hair.
Yeah.
And you have to create that. And so because of that, the onus is on the actor.
Right.
Okay? Right. You're not going to get... sometimes it's just, here's a block of wood. That's a coffee cup. You know, sip from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's hot. You know, the liquid is hot and you burned your lips. And, you know, and this is all stuff they have to create.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's very much oriented for theater people and not TV people because the TV people never have to think about that
stuff.
Yeah.
That's
really interesting. They're either, you know, and sometimes there's like actual liquid in their cup.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So they don't even have to pantomime liquid.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes when it's a martini, it's a real fucking martini.
Yeah.
And they're getting hammered on set. You know? Like, I guess we could do that, but you know, it'd be nice if you could just pretend,
right?
Since that's what you're doing.
So, so for the casting process for voiceover work, you've got the initial audition, and then you've got the callback, and then if they are going into, I don't know if the term for this specific one would be like mocap or whatever the specifics are that, of putting on the outfits and all that. Mm-hmm. How does that look if all of a sudden you're like, okay, we're between this actor and this actor, what's the next step voiceover wise? I mean, are they in that actual outfit and you're like, oh, this isn't going to work with so-and-so because of this physicality thing?
So
or is that
the way so my casting process is different than other people's.
Okay.
And I hate to give away my trade secrets because everybody is like riding my six with trying to get into this game. But
hold something back. Don't
tell us. Yeah, don't tell us. Don't
well, but what I'm saying is my eyeball is looking at different things than a theatrical casting director is looking at. And so when I film wider because you might not be aware of things that you do with your body.
Sure.
But I need to be.
That's so true.
And then I have a team of 12 people looking at each aspect of it. So I've got a face team and a body team. I've got, you know, the mocap team. I've got the narrative team. I've got the audio team. And so they're all only looking at that aspect, which is why really everyone has to audition.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I am so freaking tired of like offer only. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It just doesn't. Because do you understand that even in films, some huge prominent actors, they have someone else dubbing their stuff. They have somebody else doing their ADR.
Right.
It's not even them.
Yeah.
It's not. Don't tell me you're fucking offer only when it's not even your own voice in your movie.
Yeah.
How am I? Then I want to hire that person. Stop. Get off your fucking high horse and act. You either like to do it or you don't.
Right.
And I get. Some people were in one series once and now think that they're a celebrity, but it just doesn't, then just don't be in the biggest video games in the world. How about that?
Yeah.
Don't annoy me with your fucking ego shit.
Yeah.
It's true.
I get it. That's not what I'm not testing, like, get over yourself. I'm not testing whether or not you're a competent actor. I'm looking at how you move through space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, maybe you're not that competent an actor. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just got where you are because you just got lucky with a role and it worked and everybody liked it. Mm-hmm. And maybe you have no range.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So for the most part, it's not like, I got to figure out whether you can act. Of course I know you can act. Why the fuck do you think I'm calling you into my office?
Right. Right.
Right. And I don't do like close-ups. I'm getting your whole body. I'm getting, you know, if your leg twitches, if you carry yourself a certain way. I mean, my notes are very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And before I got here, I was having a session and I told the performer, I said, your body language is very street scrappy right now. Let's change your body to regal queen, you know? Like, yes, strength, but let's give it a different strength than what you're giving her. And so I said, let's, you know, not again, I use all these terms, but not to sexualize everything. Sometimes it makes people feel better, but like, make her a dominatrix. And again, not in a sexual way, but in the ownership
that aura, that,
of
that
your
essence.
Strengths and you're owning your room in a very in a very connected, very strong, almost virile way, you know, as a woman. And so what's interesting is, my personal life aside, you know, I've been having these discussions lately about like female strength and how to define it, right? Because, and you know, the idea of the, of a dominatrix actually came up as a, as a, an archetype. Because of that, no apology.
Right.
You know your, not you, but know your place, slave, and don't question me. And being, having that, that essence, but not having it be a militaristic, like, yes, sir, dude,
right.
Having it be a relishing your own connection to your strength and savoring that connection, not necessarily in a sexual way, but in a life, a joie de vivre kind of way, if that makes sense. I'm sure there's other language I, that is probably more appropriate, but I feel like this gives you sort of the visual.
I mean, that makes sense why groundlings would be such a big thing. Because I was, all you're saying, I was like, oh, that's all the character work. So I was like, I get it.
100%.
It's
great. So it's fun. It's fun. I like being moved. I like crying. I like laughing. You know, there are some bad auditions. Sure, there are some bad self-tapes. There are some bad in-persons. But as someone who's been doing this now, holy guacamole, 15 years... there's a difference between having an off day and someone who's not talented.
Right.
And I know the difference. And I've said to people, listen, so-and-so came in, he had an off day, he's got some family things, came in right before. Don't judge this. Let's just bring him back again. I really feel like this is someone you, I want to fight for them for a second shot.
I love that.
Like, you know, I had a session the other day and I was in a bad space. Like, my, I just was so, I wasn't unprepared, but I was, like, so frazzled and, like, what? And my tech wasn't working, and my computer was, like, the Skype wasn't working, and I was working on two projects for the same client. We did a callback for one, and I had just come from a session on the other, and they were both Latina accents, but one was from one country, one was from the other.
Wow.
I just came into this space, and my stupid water heater on my new house kind of exploded that morning, and then now my Skype wasn't, and I was like, motherfucker! I'm just doing a session, and I'm like, okay, now, but, and my client said to me, so Ivy, I think you're actually thinking of the other role that you're doing for, and I was like, ah, snap. I'm so sorry. Yes, you're right, because I did that. I just came from
I have no idea. Yeah.
It's trash. You guys don't have trash trucks. Do that at 7 in the morning.
So I was like, I'm just coming from that other session from you. I'm sorry. I need to make a conscious decision to click over.
Yeah.
My apologies. Let me get my butt in gear and refocus.
Right.
Because, you know, my critiques were geared, like, she needs to be more X, Y, and Z. And they were like, no.
Wrong one.
Right. Exactly. So everybody has an off day. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to, I've worked with them for like 10. They're not going to be like, you're fired.
Right.
We're never going to, I can't believe you made a mistake. Yeah. It's just a
You're human.
Mind flub, you know,
yeah.
momentary mind flub. And I try to make not make a habit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, shit happens and we're all human. So yeah. as someone who's been doing this for 15 years, I can tell the difference between like an off day and you can just tell it in the confidence level, right?
Right.
And so they make some choices and maybe they're not the right choices or maybe, you know, I've written so many times, like, would have been awesome if they were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they have it in them. I know they kick ass. They were just like, oh, fuck, I didn't have time to work on these.
Right.
I'm just going to go in and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and they can't remember the transitions. Mm-hmm. And they can't remember they haven't carved out that emotional path for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they get like, oh dang. Okay, I got to start again. And you're just like, when?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not today, dear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not today. Tomorrow's another day, kid. Yeah, what else?
So this is my favorite question. So if you could cast anything.
They're real.
You're crying. If you could cast anything, past, present, or future, video game, movie, anything, what would it be?
I don't know. I think I'm exactly where I want to be.
That's awesome. I love that.
That's a great answer.
What else would I do? Maybe Law and Order SVU.
Yeah, yes, I was like, yes, you gotta get on one episode. Just one episode.
Oh my god, I saw a job opening with Jonathan Strauss. If I didn't make so much damn money right now, I would be like, fuck
love
yes!
Me.
Because I know every. I will totally.
Maybe they can do like a cartoon episode. Supernatural did that with Scooby Doo. You never know.
You
I mean, Law and Order, they totally could.
Did it with Family Guy, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Look, that could be your in.
Or like if there's an episode that's about like a video game hacker or something that goes like within it.
And you can fire your favorite rapist.
There you go.
Yeah.
Worlds collide.
There are so many, like literally. Like,
please stop calling me that.
SVU. So it's I know. We should please, ladies listening, like I absolutely, there's nothing to joke about.
Yeah.
I understand
no, absolutely.
For sure
absolutely.
In real life. But we're talking about roles that people have played.
Yes.
So we're talking about in the context of that.
Yes.
Not to diminish anyone's like real life trauma or experience because it's terrible.
Yes.
But yeah, there are some of those actors, and because it's SVU, not any of the other versions of it, it focuses on sexual molestation or whatever.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the bad guys end up being deviant in that particular way.
Of course, right? Yeah.
But yeah.
Because of the nature of the show, right?
Yeah, because of the nature. So there are a couple people that, like, lived in New York and New York trained and da-da-da and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Oh, my God. I'll never live it down.
There is a doctor on one of those shows. It's not SVU, but there is a female doctor on one of those shows. It was also in the movie The Devil's Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And she could do 1,000 things. But all I see is her and the Devil's Advocate.
Yeah.
She, like, becomes this monster and, like, this scary face, like, crawls up her body and, like, gums into her face.
Yeah.
And to this day, I've watched her 1,000 times on the show, and that's all I see.
What's interesting is, I think to get back to something I was saying earlier, is a lot of times, I mean, I don't want to throw out specific names because I don't want to, like, insult the people if they feel like they have a broader range, but there are people who have, like, a creepy essence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they always get those bad guy roles because there's something about them. I'm sure they're lovely humans, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But they're scrappy. It's like what you were saying.
Yeah.
So it's, like, unnerving.
Creepy their essence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so then they get cast in those roles over and over and over. So it's not a huge stretch to think of them as a bad guy. And you're like, oh, you're my favorite bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they're like, but I just want to be good. And you're like, you weren't drawn that way, you know? So
you're still getting cast.
Right. You're still working. So, yeah. But, you know, at a certain point, there's so many levels to working in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And first one is like, oh, I would love to make it. I would love to make a living at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the next one is I'm making a living at it, but I'm only doing co-stars, and then it's,
right.
I'm only doing guest stars. I need a series regular, and then it's like I'm a series regular, but I really want to do film.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then it's film, but it's like, but I'm not getting the kind of roles that I've already done this role so many times, and I want to, you know, spread my wings. And then it's like, why don't I have an Academy Award? Yeah. And then it's so there's, you know, just as human nature, as you're just never happy with what you have.
True.
And so ultimately, it's just kind of living your life in a way where you can try to connect with the joy of the present and not always think about what you don't have.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I struggle with that too, for sure. I'm not holier than thou. Like, I'm like, I only have a townhouse.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And people are like, I only live in an apartment. And some people are like, I only live in a cardboard box.
It's true.
So, you know what I mean? Mm. So, we just really have to stop. I mean, it's nice to be motivated for bigger and better, but it's such a pitfall of a Western culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so unzen and so Western, instead of like, I don't know, so sort of some of the Eastern faiths and Eastern mentalities, or like Buddhist or something, to just be happy and present and not constantly need bigger and better.
Right.
But we don't live in that world, you know? We don't live in that world. True. And so I'm happy where I am, mm-hmm. and I'm the casting director for Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix.
I'm such a show.
And
it's
that,
weird. It's weird, but
and
I like it.
Have to say, I'm so blessed because Victoria Howard is my producer, and she and I worked together on Robot Chicken and Moral Oral and a lot of like really cool things when we were both working at Shadow, not at, but for or with, mm-hmm. right, Shadow mm-hmm. Machine. And she has a lot of faith in me. And so she, when she was working with Fincher and Miller, brought me on, and put a lot of trust and faith in me because I had never met Tim Miller or David Fincher right. before. And it was a huge opportunity for me. And now that I've gotten through, the first season, you know, I think I can like, fluff my feathers or what is it?
Yeah.
Like ruffle your feathers a little.
No, strut my stuff.
There you go.
Yeah. In that I can say like, I was the perfect person for them to hire for this.
Yeah.
I was the perfect.
That's awesome.
Because listen, who else does, like some people are just voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just on camera. There's very few hybrids. And how I first got the job on Call of Duty Black Ops was the same way. Like, I work in voiceover and on camera and mm-hmm. in film, episodic, you know, animation, live action with a theater background.
Right.
There are very, very, very few people.
Right.
I mean, I can really only tell you like one or two other casting directors mm-hmm. who are, I won't say my competitors, but my peers.
Yeah.
That have the same body of knowledge right. that I have.
I know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Right. And so ultimately, because this show was an anthology and eclectic, you know, there's some episodes that are full performance capture and mm. some that are just straight up animation.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And I was able to do both and put the right people in there mm-hmm. because of my earlier days of like comedy, or, you know, mocap
or PCAP.
And so I think it was a really good fit and hopefully everybody likes it and it came out,
mm-hmm.
you know, really well. And I, you know, some people gravitate towards some episodes versus others, but you know, it mirrors.
What's it called? Love, Death, and Robots?
Love, Death, and Robots.
That's awesome.
Netflix.
Ivy, what, besides SVU, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do when you're not
Do you
working?
Play video games?
I do. I play video games. It's hard to come home at 11 o'clock at night and then play video
games.
Yeah. You get sucked in.
Yeah, you get sucked in. So I normally watch an episode of Law & Order SVU. I do, because it's on demand.
Yeah.
Although I wish they'd switch the seasons up. I'm getting so tired of this one fucking season.
I know.
Like, when do they switch out that cycle? I gotta learn more about that. But what am I do? So, you know, it's interesting because...
Now we know what our date nights look like. This is what we're wearing. What we're going to be watching. Okay. Sorry, continue.
So I think I sometimes will say when I'm like bitchy Ivy... I will say I do my charity work outside of the office. So when you come in, it's not about charity. I don't owe you anything. Mm-hmm. Like bitchy Ivy says, like, you know, when people are like, but I didn't, I'm like, I don't owe you jack shit. This is a job interview.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like come in, be awesome or don't. I don't fucking care. Right. I'm just pissed you took up somebody else's time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because I can only see X number of people during a day. Right. Right. And like, oh, I just got these signs. I just this, I just that. That's not charity work for me. So I do charity work outside. I like to volunteer, downtown. I try to diversify stuff. And for me, I was raised of a particular faith. I don't necessarily do faith-based stuff. Mm-hmm. But part of me, because I'm Jewish, I try to do different things that are not like faith-based. Mm-hmm, so because I want people's experience with maybe my culture or my faith to be a positive one. And so like I have volunteered at animal shelters to walk dogs. Like mm-hmm. I've gone down to like Christian missions and I don't talk about my religion. It's nobody's business. And everybody has their own path, and it's all right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's all right, and it's all wrong.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. Far be it from me. Yeah. But I feel like that had something to do with me, like, really trying to give back. And so I do volunteer at, like, different missions and homeless shelters and stuff downtown. And I organize, like, clothing drop-offs and food drop-offs and... You know, sometimes I'll still go and walk dogs at the Link Foundation and, you know, a lot of, I just try to have good karma, man.
Yeah, right. Back, yeah, right.
I just try, because so much of my life is so selfish, right? Like, I gotta accomplish this in my career. I gotta achieve this. I gotta I need fancy things. So I have to remember to be humble, you know?
I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. We have come to the part of the podcast, and thank you for doing all that, by the way. That's wonderful. Where we do some rapid-fire questions. There's three of them, and we're each going to throw some stuff at you and tell us what comes to mind.
Like, move, get down! Yeah.
Fire!
All right. I'm used to it, bitch. Okay. Come at me.
All right.
You crack me up.
Well, first-person shooters, right?
Yeah.
So, like, enemy, 12 o'clock!
I've got two teenage boys, so I totally get
so
it.
So you're welcome for all the ringing in your ears.
Yes, yes, exactly. What would you say is your biggest pet peeve in casting?
Negotiating the money.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Do it or don't do it. I don't give a shit. Like, you tell me what you need to be happy. I will see if the producers are willing to spend it. I don't like talking about, you know, this, you expect this or you deserve this or it is what it is. You have $10 and you go to the grocery store and you see what you can get for the
$10. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes you can find some quarters in your purse at the bottom of the bag.
Right.
But it is what it is. Everything has a budget. It's not about like, you deserve this, you deserve that. That's fine. You've worked hard for quotes. I get it. This is what they have. These are the parameters. That's it. I can't.
Yeah.
Like, discussing, you know, I get discussing what it pays before you come in. It just seems like, oh my God, can they just like you first? And then we'll figure out if they want to come up with extra money or get breakage or whatever. I don't like talking about money before the first audition.
Yeah, I get it.
I get the other side of it 100%, but it's such a big fucking pet peeve.
Come it's like a letdown of like, let me see what you do first, and then
But I get it. Like, listen, they're juggling other things, and they got to maybe find childcare, and you know, if they're going to pay a babysitter $50, they want to make sure that the job doesn't pay $50.
Right. Sure.
I get all that, but at the end of the day, you either like to act or you don't. You're either interested in the project or you're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want someone who, well, if it pays enough, I'm interested. I don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you. I want you there because you think the role is cool.
Right.
And you find it intriguing and you plan on bringing something awesome. I don't want you there for a payday, even though I know that this is your living.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
yes,
sense?
Absolutely.
It's
the
mentality, because those people are like, you know, like bean counting, right? Like, it's 5:03, 3 minutes of overtime. It's like, really, that's just where your focus was on this while you were acting through this scene? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get it. We'll pay you the damn overtime. But, like, for your focus to be there, not cool.
Gotcha.
All right, next rapid fire. Best advice to actors.
You have to just be happy within yourself or you get nowhere in life in anything, myself included. Whenever I'm nervous about something, whenever I'm like, oh gosh, I hope they like me, I'm always prepared. I always do lists, I always bring pictures, I always bring sound bites, but that doesn't mean they're gonna hire me. And what's interesting is, a lot of it is, do we like you as a person? Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, sometimes I've been nervous, and they're like, wow, your ideas are awesome, we just don't like you. Right? They don't say that to my face. But when you get nervous, no, but for realsies, right? Yeah. Because when you get nervous, you emit this energy that's really unlikable. Because it's this desperation.
Yes.
Why the fuck should I be desperate? I'm awesome at what I do.
Right.
Either gel with your perspective or I don't. Maybe you don't like my ideas. Okay, fine. But for that scenario to be like, we loved your ideas, we just find you annoying. You know, that's me not controlling my own insecurities.
Yeah.
Right.
And it happens with actors too. But at the end of the day, if you're not comfortable in your own skin, you're just not going to get the part.
Right.
Because that's true. Too much of that other stuff is going to manifest.
Yep.
And really early on and very clearly.
Yeah.
They're like little, I'm trying to think of a cool analogy, but it's just disgusting, but like little insecurity pimples, you know, and you're like, oh no, another one just came. Oh no. And you can just see them on somebody's face plain as day.
Yeah.
And I think every single human has to get to the point where it's like, it's your passion, but it's also a job, and it doesn't define you.
Right.
You're a worthy human being. You're worthy of love. You're worthy of affection, of all good things in life, whether or not you book this fucking job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? And so if that can be your mantra, I have seen people come in like, I'm very vulgar, but... swinging their proverbial dicks around, and everyone's like, I love them. And I'm like, really? Because they just had confidence, and they're like, I'm here, you know, give it to me, don't give it to me, I got someplace else to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're like, that's the guy! You know? Of course. But we do that in real life, too. Yep. We're drawn to people that's who have a positive energy.
Who's confident.
Who are confident, but just are really, love themselves and are okay with who they are.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately the psychology of an actor has to be, you have to just be okay with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, literally like the whole reason I didn't want to go into acting because I wasn't okay. I just needed to figure out who I was and I just was too lost and didn't have enough strength to be vulnerable.
Right. What a beautiful full circle moment we just had.
Yeah.
Really, it all came around. It's beautiful. Yeah.
I do want to know, what is the best way for actors to contact you? Do you do social media?
Sometimes like I email, do social media. Like... Yeah, I mean, for sure, I feel like following me on the old Twitter.
You're a Twitter gal.
I tweet a bunch of stuff. Some work-related, some not. Mm-hmm. I just like to tweet funny things. Sometimes I'm political, you know, so if you don't agree with my politics, that's okay. I don't like to get into online arguments.
Of course.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I can see merit in a lot of different ideologies, or as people say, ideologies. I don't know why I learned it the other way, but...
Yeah.
I learned ideologies.
Ideology.
Really?
Like, I don't think that's right, but apparently
maybe that's a fancy way to say it. I don't say it the fancy way.
Like Tarjay.
I don't know.
Ideology.
Exactly. So everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm not going to tell you that you're not entitled. I might disagree with it. But anyway, Twitter, sometimes I'll be like, I need this type of person and I'm struggling. Mm. So if you're an actor, so I do tweet a lot of...
What is your Twitter handle?
I think it's just my name. Cool. Ivy Eisenberg.
Excellent. And do you do
And then Insta is like Eisenberg Casting. And so sometimes I'll...
Easy peasy.
You know, with all my NDAs and confidentiality agreements, I can't post specifics. So that's
of course.
A challenge for my own... work path, my own mm-hmm. casting path, because it's like, I have this awesome thing. You totally should come in. I can't tell you at anything. All what it is. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because it will be for a ginormous franchise.
Right.
Because
right.
now I've gotten to the point in my career where that's what I do.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Better recognize.
Yeah, girl, awesome. Hair flip.
You know, you go, girl.
Right? Yeah. Oh my gosh. So I'm so into Lizzo right now.
Yeah. Oh, champagne. Yeah. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it because I'm not going to do it justice. Goes, yeah, she's great.
She has this awesome song, and I'm tweeting at her like nonstop, like a cuckoo fan. But she has the song, Good as Hell, you know, and her the song is. I do my hair toss, check my nails, baby, feeling good as hell. You know? So that's
I love that.
So that's like my new, like, sorry, your I jam. Messed up the tune of the last bit. Sorry, Lizzo.
it's your jam.
But yeah, but that is my jam. That's like my new life jam for like, you know, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got this. I am mm-hmm. okay. You know, if you're feeling me, great. If right. not, bye.
Love it.
Bye, Felicia.
Well, on that note, though, it was awesome to have you. Is there anything else you would like to plug before our time runs out?
Yeah.
Hold that thought.
Madly in love, and she, to me, just, like, represents, like, not in a sexual way, but right. not that there's anything wrong with it, but she just, her music right now, to me, represents everything that women should feel about themselves, which is just, like,
mm-hmm. oh, that's cool.
I am absolutely 100%, she actually has a song called Excuse Me While I Feel Myself, but it's a double entendre, right?
Right.
She's like, I'm feeling it, like, I am feeling mm-hmm. myself, like, ooh, yeah, look. Looking good, right? Yeah. Feeling good, right? And so I think that's where we need to be because, you know, living I hate to be all like existential, but living in a Western culture where we're constantly mind fucked so that we buy useless shit,
mm-hmm.
like our society, commerce couldn't exist if you were okay with yourself, right? Mm. So if you didn't need that special shampoo or the eyeliner or the foundation or the to cover up, you know, a higher power's blessings of freckles or mm-hmm. or
you just mic dropped.
You know what I mean? Like
wild.
No, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you were okay with yourself and you didn't need all this crapola mm-hmm. that costs an arm and a leg, you know, like a capitalist society might fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we spend so much money on stuff so that we can feel okay with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So and feel beautiful. Right? And feel sexy. And why can't I just wake up and be sexy? So to me, Lizzo's music represents just being okay in your own skin mm-hmm. with whatever, whoever you believe or whatever you believe in gave you.
I'm mm-hmm. about that.
That's awesome.
Life.
For sure.
I you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I feel like we should blast it. I feel like we should be okay. I feel like, you know, if we want to be sexy in sweats with no makeup and you know, share our freckles
mm-hmm.
and, you know, be curvy, be skinny.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about like body shame and stuff like that. Like, oh, my boobs are not big enough. Oh, my boobs are too big. Oh, my thighs are too big. Oh, that stupid fucking thigh gap thing. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, God, yeah. like, this is just, what the hell are we doing
Love
to ourselves?
Yourself.
Sure.
Yeah. So I feel like it's a good analogy for actors too, because you could just be okay with whoever you are
mm-hmm.
and have fun and know that you're in acting to move other people instead of for validation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it for the right reasons. You stay healthy. You stay calm. You stay happy in your own being, right?
Right.
Instead of like, oh, they didn't clap. They didn't laugh at my thing. They didn't da, da, da. All that stuff needs to go. Yeah, because it's entertainment. And it's about moving people, making them see a new perspective, making them feel things, really touching their hearts and their minds. You know, and the validation comes from a job well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can't go in it for that. That's a byproduct of you doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like sort of my like final thoughts. But like, yeah, totally. send me a note on Twitter or on Insta and whatever the F, you know, as long as it's like positive and awesome and telling me I'm, you know, amazing and smart and articulate and beautiful, all the things I already knew, but it's still nice to hear.
It's still nice to hear. And on that note, yay! We want to thank Ivy Eisenberg. Yes. Thank you, Ivy.
Later, guys.
And don't forget to share and subscribe for more great content.